Psalm 106, and we'll read from verse 12. Then believed they his words, and they sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, and they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tempted God in the desert. Then he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. And then in Isaiah chapter 55, Isaiah 55, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make you an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. I just read this Psalm 106 the other day, and I just was struck by the sequence of events here. What struck me in particular was the forcefulness of verse 15. He sent leanness into their soul. As we know, this psalm is a recount of the people of Israel and the wilderness and their experiences in the journey. It's interesting, in verse 12, it was very positive. They believed his words. People of God had a very undulating path, we might say. They were sometimes obedient, and very often they were disobedient. But at this point he gives them some commendation, that they then believed they his words. And more than that, they sang his praise. Well, that's a good thing. That is what the children of Israel were let go out of Egypt for. Let my son go that he might serve me. They sang his praise, which is what we should be doing all the time. This is what we were created for. We were created for God's pleasure and God's worship and praise. But then the next verse, immediately after that, it says, they soon forgot his words. Almost immediately afterwards. How telling that is. You know, it's one of the instructions, I think, if you read in Deuteronomy, that when they got into the land, they were to be thankful. They soon forgot his works. How often we can forget what great things God has done for us in Christ. We think we're doing all right, and life takes over in all its circumstances, and we forget his works. I think that's one reason, not the only reason, but one reason for remembering the Lord every Lord's Day morning, that we don't forget his works. Of course, this is a wide encompassing thing. It's not, you think of his works in creation and his works in providence, but think of the work of salvation, the work of redemption. It says they soon forgot, almost immediately. How quickly the children of Israel forgot the arm of Jehovah, and forgot what deliverance had been wrought. You know, and as we go along, we can forget our deliverance and forget what God has done for us. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. They thought they knew better than him. How often we think we know best. And then it says they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. Well, we know what the flesh is like. The pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And they tempted God in the desert. But it's interesting, in the next verse, it says he gave them their request. You know, God in his way sometimes gives us what we want. Mm. He gave them their request. But, and there, this is one of the buts that we often talk about, don't we? The buts. It says, but sent leanness into their soul. And that's what struck me in reading this psalm. There's always a price to pay, dear brethren, for our folly, isn't there? There's always a price to pay. He sent leanness into their soul. And I take that to myself. You know, how enriched our should be. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. What riches are available? And yet it says he sent leanness into their soul. Governmental, of course, we might say, but we're not to be like that, you know. We should be rich. To be poor in spirit is one thing, that's to be humble, but we shouldn't be spiritually poor because we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. But that's what Jehovah did, because they wouldn't hearken. He gave them what they wanted, but there was a price to pay. He sent leanness into their soul. Well, as a challenge to me as an individual, as a believer, you know, how rich am I? Have I got any spiritual substance? Is there anything in any depth with me? Or am I just shallow? Am I just on the surface? There's a question for us as a company too. I mean, this was describing the people of Israel. What about the church generally? Is it enriched? Is it spiritually strong? Or is there leanness, shallowness, nothing much there? Well, I just, as I was reading this, I thought of the appeal. If there is a problem, if we recognise we have a problem, dear brethren, there is a wonderful answer. And this is an appeal. Isaiah 55 is often used in the gospel preaching, and that's absolutely fine. It is a wonderful appeal from Jehovah himself. But I just thought of this verse in particular. In verse 2, it says, hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. That's saying, it's an invitation that you can feed on Christ and come to him, and you don't even have to, it's given to you richly, the riches of his grace in Christ Jesus. We just need to come to him. He's the source, after all. The Lord Jesus is the source of every blessing and the source of great riches. Paul, you know, speaks about the unsearchable riches of the Christ. There's no excuse, dear brethren, for any of us to be spiritually poor. If we recognise our condition before God humbly, then the solution in this wonderful appeal is to come to him and to listen to him and have to do with him. As we might say in modern, in New Testament terms, feed on Christ. And as you feed on Christ, then you won't have leanness in your soul, but rather, as it says here, let your soul delight itself in fatness. You know, there's room for everybody to take this on. There's no excuse, dear brethren. We have this wonderful provision, the unsearchable riches of the Christ. And we can enjoy this and we can grow. Hearing recently in our fellowship meeting, weren't we, about spiritual prosperity. Well, the basis of it all is to come to him and to feed on Christ. And there is no telling what can be done. There's room for everybody. There's room enough for your soul. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Think of the richness and the the provision that's made, and then it says, your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. What grace, you know. Mm-hmm. What grace, what mercy God, Jehovah, showed to his people of old. Mm-hmm. You read, I've been reading through the prophets, you know, what patience Jehovah had with his people. And yet, you know, you look at your life and mine, mm-hmm. if we're honest with ourselves, what patience God has had. Mm-hmm. How often we've just rebelled, as it says in the psalm, lusted and not listened to his voice, and yet the appeal is still there to come to him, and that you might be spiritually nourished and your soul might be in fatness, as it says here. The appeal still goes out right at the end of the scriptures. I was thinking, I nearly read it in the end of Laodicea, you know, they thought they had everything, didn't they? They'd grown rich and had need of nothing, and yet the Lord has to tell them there that they're naked and blind, and they've got nothing, that they are spiritually destitute. And yet there is that wonderful appeal to open the door and let the Lord Jesus come in, and he will suck you with you and you with him. Indeed, your soul will be inclined. In fact, your soul will become fat, as it were, in this scriptural way, full of Christ and all that he can give. Well, it's just a few scattered thoughts, dear brethren. May we be challenged as to how spiritually vibrant we are. Mm-hmm. For his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.